It's a privilege to be back this evening. Just, we have so many talented people here at North Jefferson that do things at their homes and make interesting things. We've got a special family that's now able to make lip gloss. Not gloss. It's chapstick. I'm not wearing lip gloss. I'm wearing chapstick. I'm be 100% here. It's chapstick. But it's really neat. We have so many talented people here gardening. We have people that do oils. We've got such a special family here at North Jefferson. I think that's good for us to remember sometimes and to rally together. Tonight is our final lesson in our series of the urgent need for visionaries. And I wanted us to look back to Exodus. And the lesson's going to be coming from Exodus this evening. But I want to look back to Exodus chapter 1 and what we see is God fulfilling His promises that He made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And what we see is that with great power, God brought His people out of the land of Egypt, and yet we find that it was they themselves that stood in their own way. You know, we can do that as well, can't we? Is we can stand in our own way when it comes to reaching and achieving the goals that we have, be they personal or be they spiritual, that sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. We need to love what God has given us. And God has given us much, hasn't He? You know, let's look over to Exodus chapter 16 and verse 14. We're going to be reading about the manna that God provided for His people. They complained of being hungry, and God provided bread for them. And in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 14, "And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. God provided sustenance for them. All they had to do was to go out and to get it. Now they could not appreciate it. They could walk all over it if they decided to, but it would be in their best interest to go out and eat what God so lovingly provided for them, because God provided for their needs. Now let's remember what has just happened to this people. These people were treated bad. They were treated worse and worse until they left Egypt. And now they were in the wilderness, starting from scratch practically. You had a generation that didn't know what it was like to not be enslaved. And God provided them with food right out the gate, because we have a God that takes care of us. And today God has provided for our needs, but we have to look to the correct place. Now, I love working with teenagers. I love church camp. And you go to church camp and in certain sessions you'll hear kids talk about, "Well, I've dated all these different people and it's just not working out. I'm not finding the right person." Well, what type of person are you dating? And it never ceases to amaze me. It's somebody that's not godly. And they'll say, "Well, I dated this person and they were like this, and they were dating this person, they were like this, and they dated this person, it was like this," and it's like repeating over and over. And finally it's like, maybe you should cast your lure in a different pond. Maybe you need to look for something different. Making the same mistake over and over expecting a different response is called insanity. We have to understand that we're not going to find God and happiness in the bottom of a bottle of alcohol. And there's a big difference going on in saying that God is leading me somewhere. We've heard people say, "Well, God is leading me to this place. God is leading me to go somewhere else." And you sit back and say, why do you think God is leading you there? Is where you are going biblical? Is where you are going scriptural? Is where you're going pleasing to God? And what we've ended up finding is that people tend to be dishonest. They do what they want to do and tell you that it is God that is calling them to do it, so that you don't tell them that that's not a good idea. Because who are you to say that God is wrong? Y'all know I love jokes. And I saw something on the internet the other day that said, if the Holy Spirit is causing you to dance around and talk in different intelligible languages, but is not calling you to live a more spiritual life, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have ADHD. We have to understand that we've got to take a step back to see what God's expectations are for us. not try to seek our own path and apply that to God. That's not how things should be done. If we are going to search for what God would have us to do, we need to look what God has actually provided for us. If we, in the best place for us to turn for answers is the Bible. If you'll turn with me over to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, and it boggles my mind that we have people that deal with problems of a spiritual nature, yet go to someone who's not going to give them a spiritual answer. I don't understand that. If we are going to truly reach the heights that we can reach, we're going to do that by seeking God. If I want to grow spiritually, I'm going to seek to do so in a spiritual manner. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. We are able to look back at what happened during the Old Testament. We see the mistakes that they made. We see the triumphs. Yet we also see the tragedies, and we can learn from those things. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we see the beauty and the effectiveness of the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God. We as Christians need to seek to be pleasing to God. If we are going to be visionaries, that is where our eyes are going to go. How can I grow toward God? I'm not going to say, how can I grow so I can have more fun? How can I grow so that my kids can have more opportunities? And when you hear people say, I want to go somewhere for my kids to have more opportunities, 9 times out of 10, it's more opportunities to do things that are quote-unquote fun and not do things that are spiritual. And they say, well, I just wish that there was a youth group that was more active. Well, what do you mean by more active? Well, they go skiing in Colorado, and they go do this, and they go and do that. But what about biblical? What are they doing different than other places that are sound aren't doing? We're not going skiing in Colorado. We've got to put our mindset back to the spiritual, because it's going to be the spiritual that is going to allow us to get to heaven. We are going to have to understand what God's expectations are of us. We consider 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 19 to 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 19 to 21. What we see is the Word of God is powerful. Word of God is powerful, and it would be ignorant for us to not turn to the Word of God for us to grow spiritually. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing the first of all that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We consider the best place for us to look is spiritually. We need to love what God has provided for us, just like if it was food. You see these people that have left Egypt. They're hungry. They need sustenance, and God provided manna for them in the morning. We as Christians can have spiritual sustenance if we dive into the Word of God. Don't just study to say I studied, but let us fall in love with the Word of God. Another thing that we have to be able to do if we're going to be proper visionaries is we don't need to look longingly back in history. There's a problem with looking back. Hindsight sometimes could be 20/20, but there are also people that have revisionist history. That means they think about something and think about something and think about something, and all of a sudden history changes. And we see this happen in court cases where there's many, many years between when an event happened and when they're called upon in court, because people change stories in their mind, even if it's honest or even if they're not doing it intentionally. things can end up changing. And we find that happening in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 3. Exodus 16 and verse 3, before they were given their manna in the morning, what we end up finding is the people of Israel said to Moses and Aaron, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." They make it sound like Egypt was great, don't they? Sat by the meat pots. I'm not quite sure what that is, but it does sound amazing. By the meat pots, and they had their fill, and they ate bread till they were full, and that Moses brought them out of this wonderful place to kill them all by starvation. Well, that would sound terrible if that's the only thing that we do, but let's look back to Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through 14, and we're going to find what actually was happening to them. Now, what they were saying over here in chapter 16 is quite different from what they were enduring in chapter 1. Now, let's read what was going on in verse 8. "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he had said to his people, 'Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land.'" Now that is smart. That is smart. And that's something that we are dealing with in America. And people want to say that Donald Trump is this awful racist, because we see all these things happening worldwide. These problems with radical Islam. And basically the principle is, why are we letting them infiltrate? Because what if there is an outside attack? They're going to rise up with the people attacking. This is the principle that we find here with Pharaoh, is if we allow them to grow too strong and we are attacked from the outside, they can rise up from the inside. And every country will fall that allows that to happen. Now, maybe Donald Trump takes that way too far. That's not really the point. But the point is, we see the problem that the Pharaoh saw. He didn't know Jacob and he didn't know God's people. Verse 11, "Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves, and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick, and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves." This is what history says happened. They were enslaved and worked almost to death so that there wouldn't be an uprising. So we see what actually happened, but here we are in chapter 16 and verse 3. "Oh, that we were back with the meat pots, and oh, that we were back with the bread, so we ate to the full. Egypt was fantastic." Now, maybe they were just a little bit angry. If you don't know what hangry is, it's you're angry because you're so hungry. And maybe they were just having a little bit of a problem with being hangry, and they were saying, "Oh, that we would go back." But hangry's no excuse. They looked back the wrong way and changed history. Sometimes we can do that as well. We spend our time looking back of, "Oh, I wish I was a kid again. How great things were as a kid. How great life was." And sometimes we can look back and say, "Look how strong the church was back then. Look at everything we did back then." But that's not going to do us any good. Our key and our focus should be, what are we doing today to make the church as strong as we can possibly make it? And we are the church. It does no good to look back, because we may have a little revisionist history. We may see things accurately, but looking back does not help the future. If we look over to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, I'll give you a second to turn over there. A Christian's goal should keep our attention. Heaven should keep our attention. The goal of an eternal life should keep our attention. In Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Heaven should be our goal. Paul could have easily looked back and seen, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was at the height of my religion. I was part of the most prominent sect of Judaism. And he could have looked back, but he looked back at that with disgust. We need to be a people that can look back and see what was good in our past. We can look back and see what was bad in our past. We don't dwell there anymore. What are we doing to help the church today? What are we doing helping the church of tomorrow? We had VBS yesterday. That was helping the church of tomorrow. Teaching those children the different fruits of the Spirit, ways to improve their character. That was a good work. We had a lot of excellent workers that were along with that. If we look over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, we read, "And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, for our devotional writers, that's a good one you can break down as well. That is a good one to break down. After we have suffered for a little while, because this life is just a vapor. While I was in preaching school, Perry Cotham was one of my instructors. He was 99 years old. And when asked, they said, how long does it feel like you've been alive? He said, it just feels like yesterday I was a young man. Feels like yesterday. This time is fleeting. Let's make the most of this little amount of time that we do have. And we can have a problem looking in directions we don't need to look. Let's focus on what is ahead, because Christ will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. We don't need to desire to go back, because God provides for us as we move forward. God provides for us as we move forward. We look in Exodus chapter 16, in verse 35. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to the habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Their behavior at times was rotten. Their history was shaky at best. Yet when they realized what they had done was wrong, God still provided for them. God desires us every day to follow Him. And we fall down sometimes. But we need to be a people that are ready to get up, because God wants us to be on our feet. And God is providing us opportunity to move forward. Let's look over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul has played every card that he can possibly play to stay alive, to preach the word, to evangelize to the lost. And at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he realizes that the writing is on the wall. He is not going to live for much longer. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, what we end up seeing is, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." That's us. That's Christians from today all the way back to the first century. We will be with God, those who have loved His appearing. God has provided us with so many opportunities to continue to grow, but it's going to take people with vision to utilize those opportunities, to utilize the different ways that we can help improve and help those who are around us. God has provided for us by giving us His Word. We need to love what God has given us. If we are going to have great vision, it's going to cause us to realize the tools that we have are effective. The tools that God has provided for us, they work. And we need to utilize those tools. We look into the Word of God to find how we should live, how we should worship and how to become Christians. God has given it to us and given it to us plainly. We need to not look back longingly or often incorrectly backwards. We can waste a lot of time revisiting history, where we should devote our thoughts to what can I do today. Now, is there a problem with looking back and saying, you know, these are the mistakes that I made? That can be good to an extent to know where we came from, but we don't need to dwell on yesterday. We don't need to dwell on yesterday because there are precious souls who need to be saved today. And we have an urgent need for visionaries, for people to see different ways that we're able to reach the lost as well as strengthen those who are saved. Let's focus on moving forward to eternity with God and taking as many people with us as possible. The Egyptians, or the Israelites, looked back incorrectly about how things were in Egypt. They bellyached, they griped, they complained, and they could have made things a lot easier upon themselves. Let's not make the same mistake that they did. Let's not kick and scream. Let's buckle down. Let's get ready to work. Let's think. Let's do different things to reach out to different people. Let's not make the same mistakes that others have made before us. The lesson is yours this evening. The series is yours this evening. We have an urgent need for visionaries to look for opportunities to help those who are hurting. And if you are hurting, you need to be able to see that you can get the help that you need. And this evening is one of those opportunities that if you are not where you could be spiritually, do whatever it takes to get where you can be. If you're hurting, if you're struggling with sin, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to make the most important decision that you can possibly make, that becoming a Christian, being a child of God, being added to the one true church, being added to the best family that you can possibly be added to. If you would like to know more about repentance and what that means, or why confession is important, or why baptism for the remission of sins is where we come in contact with the blood of Christ, we would love to study with you. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.